You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism. Broadcasting live from Florida Suncoast on WTMY Sunday Travel Radio. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's our host, the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Thank you, Greg.
You are listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy on WTMY 1280 Sarasota. My guests today are Mr. Bob Fisher of Travelosophy and Mr. Leon Logathus, who is with the Fox and National Geographic Network, and he is traveling to the Super Bowl on $5 a day. It's going to be interesting to hear how he's going to do that. It cost me more than that in gas to get to the show today. Anyway, I have Mr. Bob Fisher on the line. Welcome to Talking Travel, Bob. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be had.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
In any event, today, I understand, we're going to chat about your trip to Slovenia.
Slovenia, right.
Now, you say Slovenia.
It's a nation of Europe.
Now, is it Slovenia or Slovenia?
It's Slovenia.
Slovenia. Okay.
Right. Love in Slovenia.
And you say great things come in small packages. I'd have to agree with that.
Absolutely. It's an amazing destination. And I'll tell you, it's one of the best and the newest destinations in Europe. And if people are looking for a really exciting, really fresh, really new and beautiful country to visit, it's Slovenia.
How long were you there?
Well, I was there for about a week. I was actually there for a congress. I'm a member of the World Federation of Journalists and Travel Writers, and we have world congresses in various countries, and Slovenia happened to be hosting it. So we were there for a good week and saw just about the entire country, which is, you know, it's only about 20,000 square kilometers. I don't know what that is in miles, Roy. You'll have to do the...
I'll go out and look in my car and...
Yeah, okay, you can check that out. But it's a small nation, and, you know, most people are going to say, may say, where is it? Well, I'll just tell you, if you head north in Italy on the Adriatic side and you just hang a left and... you're going to drive right into Slovenia. The capital is Ljubljana. Austria is to the north. Italy is to the west. Croatia is to the south. And to the east is Hungary.
Now, this was part of the Austrian Empire at one time.
Yes, it's had a really, really interesting history. It was actually once part of the Roman Empire and the Holy Roman Empire as well. But the most interesting times are back in 1848 and 1918, First World War, Second World War. In the First World War, it was called the Kingdom of the Serbs, Croats, and Slovenes. But by 1929, it had changed its name to Yugoslavia. And, of course, that's what we all remember.
Right.
Slovenia... is part of the former Yugoslavia. And that, in 1945, was when it became a communist country, a communist republic under Tito. And as most people may recall, the Federal People's Republic of Yugoslavia was led by Tito. And Tito had an arm's-length relationship with all the other communist countries in the Soviet Union. And that it helped to a great extent, although it still was a communist nation. But when things, as we all remember, when the Berlin Wall started to come down, when the Soviet Union started to come apart, the same phenomenon was happening in Yugoslavia. And so by 1991, Slovenia had declared independence. Along with Croatia at the same time, but Slovenia went through a fairly gentle transition. There was not the kind of violence that was occurring in some of the other Yugoslavian countries.
Now, this is in 1991, you say?
Yes, 1991.
Right. That's June. When they had this so-called uneventful 10-day war.
Yeah, you've got it. But it was, you know, all these momentous events. June 25th, actually, they got full political independence. But what was really interesting was that Slovenia very quickly integrated into the new Europe. It's now a very stable democracy. The economy is good, well-developed, high income, end of the scale. It's actually got the second highest gross domestic product of all the new members of the European Union. And most international observers now recognize Slovenia as a real role model of economic success in that region especially, but especially in terms of travel and tourism. And that's why it's such a great country to visit now.
Have you seen an indication of them doing some serious promotion of it as a destination? Because obviously, those of us in the industry are aware that it's an up-and-coming destination and quite a nice one. It's quite a beautiful place. But do you see some aggressiveness there?
Yes, actually, there's a lot of aggressiveness there. Being a small country still, they are, as one does, they're having to choose their markets carefully. And I don't think they're marketing to North America quite yet or to the same extent as they are marketing, for example, to the rest of Europe and to the United Kingdom. United Kingdom, of course. And again, it all has to do with proximity. When I was there in Slovenia, I met a couple who had been on the road in their mobile home for about 5 months. And they'd been to Spain, Portugal, all the usual countries, and they'd ended up in Slovenia. And I interviewed them, and they told me that Slovenia was the absolute best country of their five-month tour. Now, so a lot of people are coming from the United Kingdom, from other Western European countries, and some of the Mediterranean countries as well. But it's perfectly located in a number of respects in terms of, for example, you fly from North America.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
How would you get there? Right.
Especially through places like Frankfurt, Zurich, Amsterdam, because it has its own airline, Adria Airlines, and it's now part of the Star Alliance. It's a Star Alliance regional partner. So we had no difficulty getting there. And, of course, once we got there, it was wonderful.
Getting there from North America, you would fly into Amsterdam? Would that be the...
My preference, quite frankly, is Frankfurt. I would recommend to people to either do a route through Zurich, and as you know, Zurich has that wonderful new state-of-the-art airport.
Right.
Frankfurt is a really good connection as well. And we were able to do it because we flew Air Canada, so it was Star Alliance, and we got through very quickly, and, you know, we were in the capital of Ljubljana by lunchtime.
So you flew from...
We flew from Toronto
right.
to Frankfurt
right.
and then on to the capital, which is called Ljubljana. And don't ask me to spell it because it's full of L's and J's.
Right. And it was a direct connection. You didn't overnight or?
No. Nothing like that. Really good connections. And the people, you know, the Slovenians, as I discovered, I had met Slovenians before at other congresses for it's called the World Federation of Journalists and Travel Writers, and I had first met them in Egypt, in Cairo, and I interviewed, and this is up on our site, you can hear the interview with the Deputy Director General of Slovenia's Tourist Board. And he's Are you ready for this? He's 29 years old. And I'll tell you, this is a very youthful country. It has a youthfulness and an idealism to it that is very much also part of its cultural belief system as well.
Well, you talk about Slovenia tourist farm organizations. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Okay, now you've really touched on it. You know, you asked about how they were marketing, et cetera. Well,
right.
They're very much into smart growth, smart tourism marketing. Well, the country, first of all, and I'll try and give you a little bit of a geographical outline, because it's, even though it's a small country, it's got just about everything. The northern border, which borders on Austria, has the Alps, the same Alps as in Austria. But the country also goes down to the Adriatic, so you've got from beach to mountains, and then you have this wonderful alpine. It's really, Roy, it reminded me a lot of Austria itself and the countryside and the landscape. Now, one of the things they have done is they have really gotten into agritourism and grassroots travel, and it's called the Slovenia Tourist Farms. And this is an organization of mom and pop operations, basically, but I visited them, they're quite beautiful, and you can build an entire itinerary just by moving around the country and staying at these. They're like guest houses, really, but they're very authentic, and the people are wonderful. The food and the wine is superb. Slovenia is also very fortunate because it has a wine industry. Now, I don't think they're exporting too much of it already, but I think that may be because I drank most of it while I was there. But it's the Slovenian tourist farms. Do you remember the book back in the 70s, Small is Beautiful?
I do, in fact, yes.
Yeah, it was in 1973 that book was published. The actual title is Small is Beautiful, Economics as if People Mattered. This is what Slovenia is all about. And it's marketing in a very, very clever way because it knows that, like, it's not a huge country, but it has all the natural resources, and it's highly sustainable, but it's got beautiful nature, it's got the vineyards, it's got the mountains, and it's got some very, the capital is a beautiful ancient city as well. So there's an emphasis here on decentralization and getting the people out into the countryside. Once you fly into the capital of Ljubljana, then, you know, you're very quickly out into this beautiful countryside. And there's somewhat of an irony here, historical irony, because Slovenia, which was part of this very messy collective communist state of Yugoslavia, has emerged as a nation unto itself, but a nation that in which there still is an idea of a collective that everybody is participating in the promotion of Slovenia, but now it's on a very positive scale. And it's a metaphor, quite frankly, for sustainable tourism, and they're really going after that sustainable tourism thing because they've got all the resources, and it's a dynamic that really focuses on people-friendly events.
Now, just getting back to the term tourist farms, does the word farms come from the translation to English meaning agritourism, or are these actually actual farms? Because you mentioned bed and breakfast, but they're a little bit different than going to a working farm, for say.
These are working farms, but they are working farms, and they're bed and breakfast, but they're bed and breakfast, they're more than a bed and breakfast. The accommodations are a little more upscale than that. So what the owners of these working farms are doing, with the help of the government, obviously, and with the help of this organization, that they are upgrading the accommodations, which are lovely, but they're also building into it a culinary, a gastronomic component, and a wine component as well. And so when you stay there, I mean, it's not as if you're getting up in the morning and milking the cows. All of that is happening separately. But you are you're right at the thick of things. It's the kind of country where you feel bonded with the people immediately. And that's what Slovenians are like. They have an amazing sense of humor.
Yeah, the ones that I've met have been very, very sweet and very, very nice. I agree wholeheartedly. Now, so we've got the aspect of the agritourism, so to speak, and as they call it, the tourist farms. However, what's the other side of that? They're promoting their vineyards, which is, I guess, part of the farm concept. What about the cities itself and the history?
It's also one of those countries that is very rich in history and heritage. And the heritage, because it has such an ancient history right back to the Holy Roman Empire, and a lot of authentic, very beautiful castles, many museums and art galleries. So they're very set up. And to some extent, Roy, it's because they're the economies of scale. Once they separated from all the other countries in Yugoslavia, they were now kind of a country in which an economy of scale was now very possible. So they could put their resources into developing all these beautiful heritage sites, and I mean I'm talking castles and manor houses and very historic areas. In this one area called Lake Bled, for example, which is where Tito himself used to have his summer home. It's got to be one of the most beautiful and unspoiled. That's the point. It is very undeveloped, and this is why they're very much into the smart growth aspect. And they know they've had the opportunity to look at other countries, especially other post-communist countries, and how they've gotten into travel and tourism. And they have a very young professional class, and this is country, by the way, and they're one of the first that adopted the euro, and that's, you know how important that is.
Right.
And so they have developed a very interconnected travel and tourism industry, and it's like everybody knows somebody else, and when you travel there, you feel as though you're being passed on from one friendly person to the next friendly person.
I find it interesting that more than half the country is still covered in forests.
It's amazing. But you see, that is in part how they are tapping into the travel and tourism industry. Now, I must mention another thing, because I know your daughter is into horses, and you know that I'm an equestrian. Well, the Lippensteiners, the actual stud farm for the Lippensteiners, and we were there, is in Slovenia. And you probably remember this story, because in the Second World War, when the Nazis moved in, it was General Patton who went in and got the Lippensteiners out, and got them on trains. It's a great story. I think there was even a movie made about it.
Yeah, what was that? What, the Hartman family or something? Do you know we have those here in Sarasota?
Yes, I know.
Well, actually, it's in Manatee County, but and they practice. And for those that are listening, we're a little off track here a little bit. But for those that are listening, they practice at the farm just here in Manatee County, and it's open to the public, and you can watch this when they're not on the road, which is quite amazing, actually.
And you know, most people think, and the Lippensteiner horses. Which, as I said, really came from the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
Right.
But the main stud farm is still in Slovenia. Everyone thinks of the Spanish Riding School in Austria, which is the most famous of the Lippensteiner schools, but that's not where the stud farm is. And so when you go to Slovenia and when you're out in the countryside, you can, and this... where the stud farm has also become a resort. So you can go and stay there. There's even a casino. It's amazing what they're doing. You know, the Slovenians themselves are, of necessity, through history, they're very practical people. And the people that I met in the travel and tourism industry are very professional, very engaged in the profession. They've got a lot of common sense. But the most important thing is they have a really intense feeling for their new nation.
And you see this in the day-to-day people, as you've mentioned, that whole feeling and the importance of it, I should imagine.
Yeah, and there's as I said in the beginning, there's a youthfulness to it. And because it's new and because it's fresh, I mean, it's like any new business, if you like. It's sort of Slovenia and another place I've been recently, Estonia. It's the same sort of thing,
right.
Emerging from the Soviet Union. But there's a youthfulness, there's a freshness. No one is jaded. They know their history well. They know their past, but they also know their future. And they're taking it carefully. And their young people are highly trained, especially in the IT business. And so they're building an infrastructure. That's why I think Slovenia is really a role model for a lot of travel and tourism destinations.
Now, you're off on another trip, aren't you, here next week or so?
Well, actually, yes, I'm heading out to beautiful British Columbia, and I'm going to be doing a number of stories out there because 2008 was the 150th anniversary of British Columbia. So I'm heading out to, actually, one of the stories I'm doing is with a cowboy poet. So I'll, again, it's a...
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And, yeah. Bob, give us, listeners, your website again, please, so they can go to it and if they want to read this more in depth.
Okay, well, we're called Travelosophy, and what you need to do is take the word travel and the word philosophy, put them together, and you've got travelosophy.ca. And that's C-A as in Canada, A.
And when you put it all together, our guest has been Mr. Bob Fisher, who is Travelosophy. Bob, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you are balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-3147. That's 800-410-3147. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost or obligation, so call now. 800-410-3147. Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-338-4300.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-338-4300. That's 1-800-338-4300.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll-free.
Call 800-338-4300. That's 1-800-338-4300. Call 800-338-4300.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0569. 1-800-410-0569. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0569.
You're listening to Talking Travel on WTMY 1280 Sarasota and broadcasting live worldwide at WTMY. My next guest is, this is kind of interesting here, is Mr. Leon Logothetis, and he's host of Amazing Adventures of a Nobody, and I doubt that very much, but it airs on Fox Reality and National Geographic Adventure. He's announced that he's going to travel 500 miles in 5 days on a total budget of $5 a day and attempt to secure a Super Bowl ticket. The $5 budget, as he's saying, must be used to cover food, clothing, accommodation, transport, and ultimately the big ticket for the Super Bowl. Welcome, Leon.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, we've already told everybody that you're traveling on $5 a day, and it's 500 miles, according to my information, and the big thing is the ultimate goal is getting this big ticket. Now, where are you at the moment?
At the moment, I am in Dallas.
In Dallas, okay.
I'm doing a charity for the next couple of days where I'm driving across country to Atlanta. And once I reach Atlanta, that's when the 500 miles, $5 a day in 5 days, ultimate Super Bowl ticket thing begins.
All right. Now, are there any secrets to this, or can you share it with us? I mean, I think that at $5 a day, I'd have to sleep at the airport.
Well, the secrets are, the way I do it anyway, I'm just myself. I try and I find people who like adventure, who are willing to help, who are generous, who are kind, and we just have fun. You know, that's basically the secret.
How clever. Where did you get this idea from?
Have you ever seen the movie The Motorcycle Diaries?
Yes, I have, in fact. Now that you mention that, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that movie inspired me to change the direction of my life. I used to work in the City of London as a broker, and I came up with the idea of traveling around relying on the kindness of strangers after I watched that movie.
Right.
So I went around England on £5 a day, America, Times Square to the Hollywood sign on $5 a day, and believe it or not, I just came back from Europe where I traveled from the Eiffel Tower to Red Square in Moscow on €5 a day.
Good Lord. I'm an ex-Freddie Laker guy, so I've spent a lot of time in the U.K. Last time I was over there, I was lucky if I could get a taxi for $5 a mile. Never mind $5 a day to do all the rest of it. All right, so You're going to start out from Atlanta on, what, January 27th, I believe, right?
Yes.
And then you must arrive by midnight January 31st. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So can you walk us through it a little bit? We've got some time here. If we get to Atlanta, and so I'm assuming that you're meeting people you know, some friends, and you'll probably be bunking in with them along the way. Would that be correct?
You mean along the way from Atlanta to Tampa?
Yes.
No, absolutely not. I'm not allowed to be helped by anybody that I know.
Okay.
I have to rely entirely on the kindness of strangers. The $5 is for food, accommodation, travel. And the $5 a day ultimately also is for the Super Bowl ticket. So either I can buy a Super Bowl ticket for $5, or someone can give me a Super Bowl ticket for free, or I'm going to arrive in Tampa and go outside the stadium and start crying.
Well, or sneak in, which might not be so easy these days.
Well, sneaking into the Super Bowl probably won't be wise, because I'll probably end up being deported.
Yeah, exactly. They'll grab your visa.
Exactly.
Now, so can you give us some idea? Is there a little bit of a plan? You're in Atlanta. Share a little of this with our audience on maybe what you're thinking about and how you're going to go about this. There has to be a little bit of a pre-plan in your head, because you've done it before elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, look, the only plan really is that I start off in Atlanta.
Right.
I have to travel 505 days, so basically 100 miles a day.
Right.
And my plan is just starting off in the street in Atlanta and going up to people and asking them to help me. I cannot accept money. No one can give me money. All I can accept is generosity. So the way I do it is I'll go up to people and I'll chat with them and I'll talk to them and I'll say, can you drive me miles? Some of them will say no. Most of them will say no. Someone will say yes. Maybe I'll go to the Greyhound bus station and I'll speak to the manager and I'll make him laugh, and I'll say to him, listen, please, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown if you don't help me, and sometimes he'll help me, sometimes he'll kick me out. It's really very spontaneous. That's the beauty of this, is it's totally spontaneous.
But there's no hitchhiking in a sense?
There is some hitchhiking.
Right.
There is hitchhiking, absolutely.
Now, give us an idea of the type of person that you'd approach. I'm a people person. I've been in the travel industry all my adult life, and I like people, and I chat them up. But I'm trying to think. Here, I'm in Atlanta, and I need to do this first 100 miles, and I'm looking around. What type of person would I probably approach first?
Well, one thing that I've learned during all my trips and that I've acquired is a sixth sense about people.
Right.
I kind of understand people who are too busy and don't want to be bothered. I understand people that are in the mood for adventure. I understand people who just don't want to have anything to do with me. So I look around and I see someone who seems that like they're not in a rush and seems like they have some time on their hands. I'll go and chat with them, and I'll talk to them. I'll tell them what I'm doing. My English accent sometimes helps.
Right.
Sometimes helps. Specifically in America, it helps a lot.
Right. Well,
in my bag of tricks. It's just, as you say, you're a people person. You kind of know. You know who's going to be available to help and who's not. Although out of, let's say, every 10 people that I do meet, I say 9 of them say no. Most of them say no nicely. Some of them say no not so nicely.
Away from me thinking you're crazy.
Exactly.
Now, do you find that women or men tend to be more receptive in most cases? Or is there no guideline for that?
Not really. I mean, women with children tend to not want to be a part of it, obviously.
Right.
But apart from that, it's kind of, it runs the gamut. You have older people, you have younger people, lots and lots of different people help me.
Right. So there's no one particular kind of gut feeling of who you're going to approach first.
Well, maybe I try and approach younger people.
Right.
I mean, maybe I have more in common with younger people than older people. So that's who I gravitate to.
Now, I mean, if I were going to do this, I'd probably give Brad Pitt a call and ask him if he'd like to come along with me. figure that maybe I use him as bait and I've got a better shot at it than this little round guy that I am. But so from Atlanta, what's your first destination? Or are you just going to go with wherever you get the ride, heading southwest, I guess you'd be going?
Basically, wherever I get the ride, and there's going to be, I can't go more than 100 miles.
Right.
So it's going to be, you know, just straight down. And my theory, and sometimes my theories don't work out, but my theory is if I've traversed the entire U.S. continent, I've traversed most of Europe, I should theoretically be able to travel 500 miles in 5 days. But, as I said, sometimes my theories don't work. Like, for example, when I was in Monte Carlo, I thought, you know, of course I'm going to find somewhere to stay. I couldn't. The only place I couldn't find a place to stay, believe it or not, was in Monte Carlo. I stayed the night on the beach.
Interesting. I hope it was a good time of year.
It was, luckily. It was summer.
Well,
I only spent a couple of hours, actually, because I arrived so late.
I must warn you that it was high 30s, low 40s here today. So make sure you've got some warm clothes, because if you have to stay on a Florida beach somewhere, you want to make sure. It'll probably warm up next week while you're traveling. But it's been a chilly week for Florida anyway.
I did see that. I was a little bit shocked by that.
And a little concerned, I would think.
Yeah, a little bit concerned too, but it always tends to work out somehow.
That's good. Now, food. When you say, you know, you can only accept certain things, how would you build up a conversation with somebody, and do you tell them up front that, listen, here's what I'm doing. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to get to Tampa by a certain date, because I think if you share information, people would say, hey, man, I want to be a part of that.
Absolutely. I share lots of information.
Right.
I tell
them
exactly what I'm doing, and I make them part of the adventure. The adventure for them to help this strange English person get from A to B.
I can see how that would be fun, and especially, as you say, with the younger people, you know, they'd get excited by that. And I would think that if you've gotten a ride and you're on your way to whatever destination at that point, they may just say, listen, I live just down the street. Why don't we stop and have lunch? I mean, does that thing sort of happen?
Absolutely. That's what happens.
Okay.
And ultimately what happens is, let's say I stay the night with them, the next day they'll help me somehow.
Right.
They'll drive me somewhere, they'll put me in contact with a friend.
What I was going to say,
right.
They call somebody and say, listen, I've got to go to work today, but my friend Bob, he's off. I'll get him to come over and pick you up and take you the next 50 miles or whatever.
Yes.
This is really exciting, Leon. I unfortunately haven't seen the show, and I was unaware that this was happening, and I find it quite exciting. And if I were in Atlanta, I would certainly offer you a ride and buy you lunch.
What about a Super Bowl ticket?
Ah, interesting. Interesting point. I don't know, but I can certainly ask around. But Super Bowl tickets are hard to come by, even if you have the bucks to buy them.
But I have $5.
That's
Isn't
true.
That enough?
I hadn't considered that. That should make some difference. I mean, you're not asking for it for free. Although, if they do offer it to you free, do you still give them the $5?
If they want the $5, I can give you an IOU for $10,000.
Oh, you can?
Come due in 2098.
They could pass that along to their grandchildren. Leon, it sounds exciting. What else might you share with us in the interim? And listen to you, all you listeners out there, you know, if Leon gets down there and you just have a Super Bowl ticket and you're not going to use it, or you would like to just donate it, you can call the radio station here, and the number is 941-954-1280, and we'd be happy to pass that along to Leon.
Yes, we would be, wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I'd be happy to join you over there, but unfortunately, I'm going to be in Orlando that particular week. So, what else might you show? After this all happens, Leon, and you go through this whole adventure, I'm positive that somehow or other you're going to get your hands on one of these tickets. What happens then?
Well, you know, if I manage to get a Super Bowl ticket, it will be a monumental moment. And the fact of, I've never actually, believe it or not, been to an American football game. So if I could get to the pinnacle of American football, which is to watch the Super Bowl, it would be fantastic. After that, I'm living in Los Angeles, and I write, and I continue doing these travels, these trips. I love travel, and you said that you're a seasoned traveler, so you know how inspiring it is to travel around and to meet new people and to have new experiences.
Exactly. Is this going to air on the? I'm not familiar with Amazing Adventures of Nobody. Does this air regularly?
Yeah, it's going to start airing on the 25th, on January 25th.
Okay.
And actually, it airs on Fox Reality, and it airs on National Geographic International all over the world. So literally, sometimes I remember I was in Argentina, I was in the airport, and I had people coming up to me and saying, "Hey, are you the Cinco Dollari man?" Like, yeah, the Cinco Dollari man, it's me.
That's
so it's interesting. It's been a really, really interesting experience to be able to have traveled and done all these wacky things.
And I'm sure you've kept a journal of this.
I have, and I'm actually in the process of writing a book about the U.S. leg of my adventure, which was Times Square to the Hollywood sign.
Now, that brings up another interesting point. Have you found, in doing these things, in your travels, have you found people in the U.S. more friendly in terms of helping, more receptive to it than other parts of the world? And if not, where did you find the people most receptive to what you're doing?
Without a shadow of a doubt, the Americans were by far the most generous and giving people. And I don't say this simply because I'm on an American show. I say it because it's true. The level of generosity and kindness that I received in America was absolutely astonishing. Second point, the Americans worldwide, like, for example, the tourists, have the stereotype is the ugly American tourist. However, that could not have been further from the truth when I was in Europe. I was helped so many times by American tourists, to the point that I would wake up in the morning and I would say, okay, we need to find some Americans. Because they were unbelievably gracious, unbelievably generous, and just wonderful.
Well, that's good to hear. And I don't know how long you've lived in this country, but I think people generally are that way in this country. There's such a misconception about Americans at times. Now, it's not to say that, you know, there are those that always, wherever they go, in every country, the Germans can be that way, all of them, every country. But by and large, I think that the most friendly people that I've been around in my lifetime has been the Americans and the Australians, interestingly enough, because Australians are an interesting transition for Americans because the senses of humor are very much the same, and Australians are very laid back as well. As where in the UK, it takes a little bit to break the ice sometimes. I couldn't see myself standing outside a tube station asking somebody for a ride somewhere. But of course, as a Yank, as one calls them over there, you might just get away with it.
Yeah, no, it is a little bit of a different system down there.
All right, so it's what else can you share with us, Leona? We know you're leaving from Atlanta, and we know you're going to certainly be here by at least midnight on the 31st. You can certainly be here before if that happens, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, but the aim is to arrive at the given point just before the Super Bowl begins.
Right. Okay. Well, good. We wish you all the best. We've put the word out that if there's anybody that has an extra Super Bowl ticket. If you would like to get a piece of cardboard and write Leon's name on it and say, I have a ticket for Leon, and stand in front of the stadium, I'm sure he'll find you.
I will definitely find you.
Leon, it's really been fun, and it's been a pleasure. I'd like to chat with you about it after the fact and to see how it went and share some of these ideas of and some of the things, the adventures that you did come up against while you were doing all this, and maybe some of the humorous things, because there got to be some great outtakes of what people's reaction are. I saw a bit recently on a YouTube thing where they had an adult head in a baby a stroller at the airport with one of those pacifiers in his mouth, and they had the cover over his head, and then all you could hear was the crying, and there was nobody around this little carriage, and the people would go by and they'd lift up the cover, and here this guy would spit out the pacifier, and people would run and scream. So there's got to be some really great instances of reactions of people during this, and I'm sure you're videoing some of this, I would think. Are you?
Yes, we will be.
Okay, good. Leon, thanks again. My guest has been Leon Logothist. Is that correct pronunciation? How do you actually pronounce your last name?
Logothetis.
Okay. And he's going to be arriving in Tampa on the 31st, and he's leaving Atlanta. And I know you're going to do it, my friend.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you again, Leon. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Are you watching your blood sugar levels and how much it changes after meals? Get some help from Enhancelin, the natural dietary supplement that, when taken before meals, reduces the amount of sugar getting into your body. Enhancelin customers say it best.
Enhancelin does balance out my blood sugar.
With Enhancelin, I can smile again.
Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. So call 1-800-997-5717. For a limited time, receive a free 30-day supply of Enhancelin with your order. Call 1-800-997-5717.
You're listening to Talking Travel, and this is Roy Lowy. My next guest is an old friend, in fact, Bill Wolf, who is the president of Europe by Air and Flight Pass, which has been around for a long, long time. And we're going to chat about that. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Roy. Nice talking to you.
And you. Listen, you know what I thought we'd do, Bill? You have such an interesting history. Before we get into Flight Pass, let's go into your background a little. Now, you were in the airline business. Give us some idea of Bill Wolf.
Well, I've always kind of been fascinated by two things, internationalism and airplanes and airlines. So when I first got out of college, I went to American Express, got a job internationally, and I was working with them. I spent 7 years in England. I spent 2 years in Philippines, 5 years in Germany. And I was basically always working in the travel side of the business and then coordinating things among airlines that we were dealing with. So it kind of came natural. I came back to the States and met some fellows who just started a small airline here in California. I joined them. And that was called Air LA. I was there for 15 years, and we did flights first initially out to the Grand Canyon in Las Vegas from LA, and that was based on the international business as well. A lot of people, you know, come to LA from other countries, and then one of the great attractions for them is to go see the Grand Canyon. And beyond that, then we start expanding into other routes, and we flew up and down California. We flew out into the desert. And we ended up flying as Aeromexico, what they call co-chair partner, where we provided smaller aircraft to fit into their route network, which went down from California and Arizona into Mexico and make connections to their flight.
Did you fly into Baja?
Oh yeah, we flew Baja and we flew Tijuana, Mexicali, San Felipe,
You didn't go into Mulahay Loretto, though, did you? I don't think.
No, we didn't do that one.
That was my old Air Cortez days. You know?
Oh, I remember those. I remember Air Cortez, too. We built it in business for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's get to Europe by air and Flight Pass. Now, Flight Pass has been around for some time, and give our listeners some idea of how that works.
Well, again, kind of going back to our backgrounds, since I did a lot of international contacts and a lot of airline contacts, a fellow that I'd known and worked with at Air LA had gone to Europe and had started Virgin Express Airlines with Richard Branson's group, and they were flying out of Brussels. Air LA closed in 1995, so I called this fellow and I said, you know, I think there's always been a concept here that hasn't been taken advantage of. For decades, Americans have been going to Europe, and they bought a rail pass to get around Europe. And you could go on a variety of railroads.
Which was a great concept.
So all I did was say, you know, it's time for the airlines to have something like that. They liked the idea. I got on a plane, and 24 hours later, I was in Brussels, sat down to talk about it, and came back to the States 3 months later. And basically so, Europe by Air is a group of airlines. I traveled around Europe. I met with the independent air carriers who were scattered throughout Europe everywhere, from up in the UK up to Estonia, down to the south in Greece, over to Portugal and Spain and Italy. And I found the independent air carriers, and I said, individually, people in the United States don't know how to find your airline. They wouldn't know how to book it. Why don't we just kind of combine it? We'll call it Europe by Air. So the concept is on our website, you can go and you can look at a map, and it shows all the different airlines' routes, and they're combined into one. So you, from one place, Europe by Air website, you can book on any of these carriers, and the routes and the fares and the conditions have all been standardized.
Absolutely brilliant, just brilliant. So, in other words, we go to your website, which is europebyair.com, and then one can then go to an interactive map, which I find absolutely fascinating, put the cursor over the destination, and then we'll show you what's available from that destination to other points within Europe. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. And frankly, we've now expanded beyond Europe. We have flights all the way over to Cairo, and next summer we will have flights from Europe over to Israel.
Now, is it too premature to let our listeners in on a little secret of that you've shared with me, that there may even be another expansion?
Oh yes, yeah. The concept works. It's very simple, and yes, we are looking at expanding it for other areas as well. I wouldn't drive people to the website today, but in a week or two or a month for sure, yes, we'll be able to have a lot of options beyond Europe.
All right, so if I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag, so to speak, there may be something going on whereby one can find out not only where you can go within Europe on Flight Pass, but maybe how you can get to that destination from North America. Is that where you're headed?
Yes, yeah. In fact, that one, that's another aspect of this one. Is just, it'll be up by this weekend, probably even by Friday it should be available. And what it is, it's going to have another type of map on our website, and that will show all the combinations of flights between the U.S. and Europe. And what we found when we designed the map is that a lot of people, when you go to the big search engine, they'll just type in their city or their the nearest major city, and then they'll type in, say, London, and then they'll let the search engine go out and look for all the different flight possibilities. However, they don't really know what that, we call them search engines, is going to provide. Is it going to provide a connection or a flight over New York or Miami or Chicago? So if you're sitting in the middle of America somewhere and you've got options of where you could depart from, the reason we designed this map will allow you to visually see what flights operate from what cities to what cities in Europe, so you can be more selective.
So if I can recap that a little bit. So in other words, the flight pass will be basically the same. One can look in at those destinations, but what will happen is that if, for example, I wanted to go to Rome, I can then put my cursor over Rome, and it will tell me where I can get the most direct air service from my hometown, let's say. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right.
And we have an engine where they call them an engine. I don't particularly like that term.
Yeah, they call them booking engines, don't they? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But we all use a similar product. And so then what you could do, you go in there and you type in the city that you'd like to see the fares from and to, and then you can add the flight pass for flights within Europe. And the good thing, again, about the flight pass is that there's so many different carriers, and we go and we search them all for you, and then we have these standardized rates and conditions. And one of the things that people really love about the flight pass within Europe is it's no change fees.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a big item. Now, you're telling me that if I fly from Brussels to London and I change my times or flight, that I don't have to pay a change fee at all?
That's correct. That's one of the great things about the flight pass. You do have to call to make the reservation.
Well, I would think, yeah.
Or cancel anything you're currently holding, and it has to still be available, of course. But, yeah, that's right, no change fees.
Well, that's exciting. Now, I'm on your website at the moment, and I also see a list of what you call your favorite destinations, or the destinations that people find as their favorites, and it shows the different points that they can book at the $99 fare. And I also just went to the booking engine, and I noticed when I typed in some of these destinations, what came up was flight pass first. And if there wasn't, and it also gave some options of other airlines that were also available.
That's correct. Now, we always try to give people the choice. You know, we don't make it for them. We don't bias it towards what we want to sell. We say, here are your options. Now you decide what you want. And, you know, one thing I should mention, because one of our most popular routes is London to Paris. And so some years ago, when I was traveling around Europe and living there, I was working there, I noticed that to really get between London and Paris, the best way is take that train called Eurostar. And I started using it for myself. Then I met the Eurostar people. This is, of course, the tunnel. It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes from London St. Pancras Station, which is right in the center of London, to Gare-Nord, which is in the center of Paris. We sell a lot of that, and that's also $99. And again, no change for fees. It's one of our most popular routes.
That's great. Bill, that's absolutely super. Two things, if you will, before we go. Give us the website again, and is there also a toll-free number?
Yes, there is. The website is www.Europe, E-U-R-O-P-E, of course, BYBY AIR.com. And the telephone number is something related to the airline industry, 888-321-4737.
Well, that was Bill Wolf, president of Europe by Air Travel Pass, a brilliant concept for a community of savvy travelers. Check it out online at europebyair.com. And for all you savvy travelers that are listening, you may want to tune in on Sundays from 3 p.m. till 9 for WTMY's all-new Sunday Travel Radio. From 3 to 5, Pierre Wolf will host America's Travel and Dining Guide. Then from 5 to 6, yours truly, Roy Lowy, will host Talking Travel. Then 6 to 9, Travel with Stephanie Abrams. We'll offer you a six-hour mix of everything that relates to travel, from travel journalists reporting from around the world, what's hot, what's not, single travel, single parents with kids, the best online travel sites. Our consumer advocates will even be on the job to resolve issues that you may have, and we'll cover it right here on WTMY. So if you want the latest travel info, we'll be here from 3 to 9 on Sundays, and hope you will join us right here on WTMY 1280. You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy, and I'm your travel guy.